Zito.
It's going to be in the book of Ephesians today, chapter 5. I'm going to be on verse 25. Before we go there, let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we ask that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what your Spirit says. Father, convict us where we need conviction. Have mercy on us, forgive us, and strengthen us. Lord, let us be one of one accord. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 5:25. It's a word for husbands today. This message is for married Christian men. But ladies, it's for you too. If you're a married woman, a good way to see if you, how much your husband loves Christ, it's to see how much he loves you. If you're a single Christian woman and you're looking for a husband, this is going to be what to look for. And don't settle for anything less. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The word for love used in this is the Greek word agapeo. It's not agape. It's agapeo. It's the verb form of agape. It's action. It's an action word. It means to love unconditionally and sacrificially as God himself loves us. We've all heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He did something. This is the same way that the word is being used, loved. This is an action word. God didn't just say, I love you. He proved it. He did something. He said, I love you, and then he gave something. Husbands, your wife not only wants to hear about your love for her, but most importantly, she wants to see your love for her. I'm going to be hard on Christian husbands today, including myself. The first and foremost priority for a godly husband is to love his wife, with a particular emphasis on action. Now, I know some of you are going to say, oh, pastor, no. The first and foremost thing for a godly husband is to love the Lord. Yes, you're right. But coming up in verse 32, Paul's going to reveal a mystery. And that mystery that he's going to reveal is they're connected. Husband's love for God and his love for his wife are connected. And he's given you an example. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christ and his bride. Husband, the example is for you to love your wife the way that Christ loves you. That's a tall order. Now, I've heard the comments from other people, you know, they say, well, you know, wives are to submit, and, you know, we got to submit to our husbands, and we got to submit to our husbands. And I'm like, okay, but what's it say to the husband? Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a tall order. Tall order. If you're a Christian man, married Christian man, that should rattle you. Think about it. Christian men, your greatest witness for your love for God is manifested in your love for your wife. I'm going to say it again. Christian men, your greatest witness for your love for God is manifested in your love for your wife. Bill and Pam aren't here today, but I'm going to tell on them anyway. If you're watching online, Bill and Pam, I'm telling on you. About a month ago, I was standing at the back of the church, and everybody was doing their thing and stuff, and I looked over, and over here by themselves were Bill and Pam, and they were embracing one another. And I'm not talking about hugging one another. I'm talking about embracing one another. And I looked over, and I saw that. And you know what I thought? That man loves God. You could see it in his love for his wife. You can see his love for God. It just speaks volumes. Married Christian man, it speaks volumes of your witness to Christ. BibleReference.com says, the husband's love should involve a deep lifelong commitment and the willingness to make any sacrifices necessary on her behalf. Husbands are called to a level of dedication which includes love unto death. Though given authority as the leader of the family, the corresponding responsibility is often overlooked. A husband must love his wife, dedicate his life to staying with his wife, and be willing to die for his wife if need be. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Christians, if you're looking for this type of love in some fairy tale Hollywood movie, you're not going to find it there. This type of love is found within the pages of the Bible. If you think there's no romance in the Bible, read Song of Solomon. I'll just throw that out there. Romance wasn't part of my equation today, but read. If you're looking for romance, read Song of Solomon. It's a wonderful story. Besides that, the Bible is the greatest love story that's ever been told. Verse 31 of Ephesians 5:31, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. As a Christian man, I want to be so close to my wife that it's going to be hard to tell where I end and where she begins. Because we're coming together as one. We're one unit now. Before we were two, now we're one. I want to be so close to my wife that when you think of me, you think of her. We're synonymous with one another. You can't think of me without thinking of my wife. I want to be so close to her that it's no longer I and her, but us. One in Christ and one in each other. Marie and I were talking the other day, and I told her, I said, all my life I've been looking for something, a love that was bone deep. And I was having a hard time explaining to her about bone deep. I said, do you understand that? I don't know how to explain it. It's bone deep. You know? My love for my wife is down in my bones. It's that deep. I hunger and thirst for her the same way I hunger and thirst for Christ. Because it's Christ in me, Christ in her, and us in him. I found it ironic, or maybe not so ironic, that God didn't make Adam's wife in the same manner that he made Adam. Amen. He didn't. He could have made Adam from Eve from dust, just like he made Adam, but he did. Don't you find that odd or ironic? God opened up Adam and reached inside of him and made his wife from a piece of him. That's how close the connection is. And then what did Adam say? He said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." Your connection with your wife is a direct overflow from your connection with Christ. If you're uncertain about how to express your love for your wife, just go back to looking at what Jesus has done for you and do the same. It's your greatest witness. There, fellas, how many men in this room has Jesus been good to? How good? There's no words to describe. I'm to imitate that with her. My wife's spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being should be at the top of my list. I'm going to switch gears here a minute. Spent a little bit of time telling you that you should love your wife. Now I'm going to tell you how to. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 4 through 7 gives us an illustration of what love is. This is mainly for young kids. Well, it could be for adults too, because there seems to be confusion in this world today about what love is. If you want to know what it is and what it isn't, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it tells you what it is and what it is not. You can use this as a checklist for love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I was going to put Bill and Pam on the spot today, but they're not here. So I'm going to put Dwayne and Sue on the spot today. Now, I'm going to put Dwayne and Sue on the spot because I pretty much know their heart. Now, you got a checklist here of what love is and what it isn't. What I'm going to do is substitute Dwayne's name for the word love. And then I'm going to read it again. Now, Dwayne, what matters is what Sue agrees with. not what you agree with. And Sue, you don't have to nod or say amen out loud. I don't think you... Dwayne suffers long. Dwayne is kind. Dwayne doesn't envy. Dwayne doesn't parade himself. Dwayne's not puffed up. Dwayne doesn't behave rudely. Dwayne's not selfish. Dwayne thinks no evil. Dwayne does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Dwayne bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Apparently, Dwayne's doing pretty good at this, at being a husband. I'm going to switch gears again. Husbands, did you know that your prayers being answered is determined by how you treat your wife? What? Did you know that your prayers being answered is determined by how you treat your wife? 1 Peter 3:7. You can turn there if you want. I'll turn there and read. Pastor, you were there a couple weeks ago, weren't you?
Yes.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, speaking of your wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I'm a pastor. I need my prayers getting through. It's important. I would hate to think that someone in an emergency would come to me in an emergency situation where I need a prayer to get through like that, and I had to stop and repent for the way I was treating with my wife first.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'll tell on myself. Sharon and I had a little disagreement the other day. She wasn't wrong. I was. We'd getting ready to go to bed, and I'm mad. And she says, come on, let's pray. And I said, I can't. Because I can't go to God angry about you. Let's get this worked out. Let me tell you. Let me repent. Let me tell you I'm an idiot. And then we'll pray. Let me get that worked out first. Bible reference, I'm going to go to them again, says the heart of this verse, 1 Peter, is that men should honor and respect their wives. Driving the seriousness of this point home, Peter points to a consequence. Christian husbands who refuse to honor their wives will see their prayers hindered. Either God will not receive those prayers in full, or the husband will find it difficult to pray. Any husband who is abusive, disrespectful, or otherwise belittling to his wife is defying the will of God, period. He must repent and change his behavior before that line of communication with God will be fully opened again. I don't want to be in that state. I'm being hard on husbands today. And I'm not being hard on them. The Bible is. Look at how I treat my wife. I will say this. My wife makes it a joy for me to love her. It's not a burden. It's not a burden. She makes it a joy to love her. Nevertheless, I love her. If she did make it a burden, I still love her. See, the command that Christ is given us is not based upon what she does. The command that Christ has given us is not based upon how she responds to my love. Oh, now wait a minute. You mean I'm supposed to love her even when she's wrong? Yeah. Does God love me when I'm wrong? Yeah. I was listening to, I think it was Dan Staubin, I'm pretty sure it was, a few years back. And if he's listening to us today and I get a partial part of this story wrong, I'm sorry, I apologize. But I think I've got the overview of it. He said him and his wife were in a ruckus. I mean a ruckus. They just going at it. And he said, I got to the point of just no getting through, you know. And he said, I just threw my hands up and said, I got to go for a walk, you know. And he says, I'm walking down the sidewalk. And he says, I'm walking and I'm praying and I'm talking to God, you know. And it's like, God, you got to do something with this woman, you know. And I just don't know what to do. And he said, he heard God say to him, go tell her you love her. And he was like, what? God said, go tell her that you love her. He said, but God, she's wrong. You know she's wrong. He's like, I know she's wrong. But how do I handle you when you're wrong? Same thing. When we come into situations that we may not know how to deal with things as far as situations as a husband and a wife and husbands, we're looking for examples and we're wondering if we're making the right move, always refer back to what God has done for you and do likewise to her. Has God showed you mercy? Do likewise unto your wife. Has God shown you forgiveness? Do likewise unto your wife. If you want to see illustrations of what it looks like, look at how Jesus dealt with believers in the Bible. Look at how he responded to them. Look at the woman caught in adultery. What did he do? Let that be your example. The woman at the well. Peter's denial. What did Christ do? Let us have that as an example as husbands. Husbands, as you walk in love, in the love of Christ, your love for your wife should increase in action. As you walk in the love of Christ, your love for your wife should increase in action. Because we're not supposed to be merely hearers of the word. We're supposed to be doers of the word. So if Christ says, love your wife, I need to get busy. Right? Am I preaching to the choir here tonight? Today? Probably. Husband, don't tell me you'd die for your wife, but you wouldn't do the dishes for her. You draw the line there? Baby, I'll walk through the fire for you. I'll die for you. She said, hey, could you help me out with the dishes? Oh, no, 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 no. I don't do dishes. No, I ain't buying that. I'm not buying it. Remember, Christ in the church is the example. How much did Christ give for his bride?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
I will clean.